Now, the Instigators.
Okay, we're good.
All right, good morning. Welcome to the show, Instigators. Andrew Peters, Craig Rivet, Martin Biron, and the legend himself, Rob Ray. Here's the tweet that I want people to message to me. We've done this before. I want your Mount Rushmore of Sabres organization. Tweet at the Instigator 76, because I told Razor this morning, minutes ago, I'm like, you know, I have to imagine that you're on the Mount Rushmore for Sabre fans, without question, in terms of history of the team. I know there's a lot.
I climbed Mount Rushmore once.
Yeah, I keep eating those medium meals, Razor, and you're going to start looking like Mount Rushmore.
No, have you ever seen Razor eat a medium meal?
Salad.
No, it's salad with about 15 sliced onions on top of it. And then he's got to go sit between the benches and talk to players.
So 6:30 pregame show with Marty and Duffer. Razor will be on there.
Maybe.
Dan Dunleavy
Maybe.
Will be on there.
Maybe.
7 o'clock game, Pittsburgh in town right here at the KeyBank Center. First off, let me just start by saying good morning to Craig, because I feel like Craig might go into shutdown mode here in a few minutes.
Oh.
But Marty has something for you.
I have a present for you, Craig Rivet, and today is Pi Day, by the way. So it's
yes,
314.
I did.
So
not PIE.
No, PI. So Pi Day. And you know, talking about inventions and technology. And so Frank Henry, our good friend Frank Henry, stopped by the set Tuesday night.
Henry
gave me a present. He said, "This is for Rivs. I want you to give him this. It is a rim roller." Have you ever seen a rim roller, Rivs? This thing goes on the side of your coffee cup, put it in, you pull it back, and it rolls up the rim perfectly to see if you are a winner or not.
Yeah. Is that real?
It is real.
Did
it's
Tim
called
Hortons
a rim.
This?
I have no idea. It's called a rim roller.
I got your
and
present. Do you you want to do your
and no, so now do
I
it.
I don't get it.
Put it in, push it
ones.
All the way in.
He's gonna crush the cup.
And then pull it back. And there it is.
Holy.
Please play again. Good. Sorry.
I don't like this thing.
Well, it's a fantastic tool for you
Can
to
you
use
turn
every
Marty
day.
Can you turn my ear, please?
Can we turn
you
Marty
you
off,
go back.
Period?
Okay. Give it back to me.
Then.
This
I
is actually.
Not,
it's not mean.
It's
not
actually quite amazing.
I don't want to give it to you now.
Give it to him.
I don't Look want to.
Well, we're going to take it from you.
I'm going to tell you that.
Did you win?
That's a.
Oh, you don't have a winner.
That's a nice. I like how
nice
it did
job.
That. That was pretty cool.
I was going to give it to you, but
who,
now
who
you're grumpy.
Yeah,
but he
who
gave it to you to
that?
Give to him.
Somebody who's sitting, probably somebody working at Tim Horton, and he's thinking, how can we make this easy?
Absolutely.
How can I take home 500 cups and roll them quickly and
how
see
much
how much
does that
I
thing
win?
Cost?
I have no idea. It's a keychain.
Yeah, but
and
Marty,
it's
where,
a
where
it's a. I don't know. Frank Henry gave it to me.
Henry.
For Rivs. And I'm Rivs, take it, please. Have this.
I really
it's
like
a rim
this.
Roller. It's actually called a rim roller.
I'm not going to lie. That's actually very cool.
That.
Yeah, but how many other rims are you going to be rolling? You know, I mean, realistically, you need it 2 times a year for no. about a month.
How do you know what's under all those other rims you drink?
Well, you know what? Hey,
could be,
hey, you know what?
Could be gold
it's
under there.
Not roll up the rim month, but you know what I might do? I'm going to roll up the rim anyway.
You just want to try it. You just want to see how it works.
Yeah.
I actually, you know what? You know
Watch
what?
This. Watch this.
Pull it back.
Pull it.
Boom.
That's unbelievable.
It is pretty amazing, but here's the problem.
Absolutely
it's
amazing.
Not wide enough. It doesn't get the whole thing. Right. Anyway, who gets that? Is that
Rivs gets it.
You know what they're going
right.
to do?
It's a good gift,
you're
Marty.
You're going to do it. You're going to come up and
Thank
it's you. Go,
you
win a.
You think.
And Frank. Then it's going to get cut off. And then when you pull the car side up and take it in, they go, oh, this is damaged. This is ripped. You can't clutch your car.
And if you
you
notice.
Make sure you get it in the right
it's
spot.
It's actually the shape of a cup and a rim.
A Tim Hortons
and
cup.
The color of the lid.
Awesome.
That's yeah. amazing. Wow. I wonder how much HRR that. I was just going to say.
Somebody gets rich over that. Over inventing this? Is that like $1 million idea?
How much no. How much you think that thing's worth?
It's probably a
$5.
A $300,000 idea.
Less 25 cents to make.
I bet you it's less than that.
I bet it's less than that, but I'll tell you this. What do you pay for that? $5?
Probably.
Really?
Would you pay $5 for that?
Absolutely.
No, that's what my teeth are for.
It's patented.
Razor was thinking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, Razor's got like 30 different LLCs going.
Made
He's like, I might get one
in Canada.
Yeah, that's a shocker. Yeah.
I don't know where we're going here today, well, but I'll tell you this.
That's a great
hit. I just watched the Brennan Lemieux five-minute major on Antoine Roussel. That could be the worst call in the history of the entire NHL.
That was it right there?
No, yeah. Watch this.
So he comes to the middle and
watch
net.
This.
Boom.
Five-minute major for that.
For this him. Guy?
Yeah.
For falling into him, basically.
Well, people on the radio can't see this, but who did he hit? Antoine Roussel cuts across the net and kind of trips.
You know what we need to
and
do?
Brennan Lemieux just makes contact with him.
You know what happened to Petey? Because, and then Vancouver retained possession. Tyler Motte has the puck, shoots, and scores.
Yep.
But because it's a major penalty, they applied the penalty even though they scored on the delayed penalty, right?
Yeah.
A minor would have been wiped out. A major. So I watched Canisius play Niagara at Harbor Center a few weeks back. And for five-minute majors, the referees have the luxury of seeing it on the video
again. He didn't make contact with
his
head.
So do you think, Razor, you're a fan of the video replay. Do you think referees should have access to video replay to call five-minute majors? Because that's basically if the referee says, I'm thinking of calling a five because the guy is hurt, but he goes back to the penalty box, looks at it, and says, that's not even a penalty. I can't call a five on this.
So why did he panic and do it in the first place? He's supposed to know.
Well, yeah, they missed it.
There's two of them out there.
He was hurt on that play, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah,
he hurt his leg.
Is he not out for the rest of the year?
I didn't read on it.
Yeah, he just blew both ACLs.
Yep.
Yeah, he did.
Yep.
And it wasn't Brendan Lemieux's fault.
He did nothing. He got tripped by the goaltender.
Yeah.
Fell forward. Brendan Lemieux, I don't even understand what he's supposed to do in that situation.
Well, hug him and deposit him
on the ice.
Set
him down on the ice.
So is that what we're about, Marty? In this game,
we're
hugging
Marty,
guys.
You know that argument we had last game?
Yeah.
Here it is, right here. It's coming
I just
to the
wonder,
forefront.
No, this is not the same
thing. Yes, it is the same thing.
I wonder if this referee that made this call gets suspended.
No, but he's going to get an email. He's going to get reprimanded for it.
You know what would have been worse?
He's going to get what?
Reprimanded.
If Tyler Motte had absolutely hammered Roussel with that slap shot.
Poor guy would have been buckled knee, buckled face. He would have been so out.
Yeah, it would have been. That would have been bad. Instigators, Andrew Peters, Craig Gervais, Marty Biron is here, and Rob Ray. Yesterday, Jeff Skinner had a comment on Darlene, and this was a tweet from John Vogel. He said, nice for us and scary for everyone else. He talked about how he's going to get better for us in the future. One of the things that John Vogel kind of dialed in on, Jeff Skinner.
Oh, Jeff
Skinner. Dialed in on was the way and how naturally and how easily us kind of flowed off of his tongue.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm thinking, like, is it already kind of set in Skinner's head that he's going to be sticking around for a while?
Well, you know what? It's
because you're a big guy on body language.
It's nice to hear the comments that he is at least. Listen, there's nothing in contract form. It's not like he's already signed, but it's nice to hear Jeff Skinner talk about his position as he talked about obviously Rasmus Dahlin. It's nice for us, and it's like maybe we as fans are all reading into things, but when you hear him say it's nice for us, he's going to be scary for everyone. Dahlin's going to be in the Norris conversation. I like hearing that. I mean, Jeff Skinner's putting himself in that circle of trust he's with this hockey team.
Another thing he said is there's a really good group of guys, which is big when you're going out there playing as many games as you are and going through ups and downs. It's a lot more enjoyable when you like the guys that you're sort of doing it with. So, you know, there's a good
location and sort of. If you sort of like the guys, that's a really bad quote.
I caught that
like
was my
guys,
stumble.
And sort of, you know, comes after, then it's okay. I think it's a fine quote
like
by Jeff Skinner.
You don't like everybody in the room, Marty.
Huh?
You don't like everybody in the room.
No, you don't like. But there's not been a lot of guys that I've played with that I've totally disliked.
Yeah, but you don't have to like everybody. You just have to go out and you're fascinated by this, eh, Razor?
He actually. Somebody on Twitter, and I'll give the proper credit. Give me a second here. So Steelopus, I don't know who Steelopus is, but said, you know, give me a link, and you can customize your company name on them and on the rim roller.
You can put Instigator logo on that.
And they're for a set of five, they're $250 each.
$249 Canadian.
Canadian.
That's $1.66.
So they're $15 for five. Well, we could make Instigator's rim roller.
Just
brutal.
Brutal.
Brutal rim rollers right there.
But I was fantastic. Saying you don't have to like everybody. Like, you know, for instance, like for me today, I don't have to like everybody I'm doing my show with, you know?
Well, no, you
we
do.
Don't.
But you don't have to like everybody you play with. Well, is what I'm saying. You
have
to
difference.
Go out.
Skinner doesn't have to like Johan Larson, and I'm just picking somebody because he's are not on the ice with him. He's
breaking
never...
news. Jeff Skinner doesn't like Johan
exactly.
Larson right here.
But he does, he does have to like Jack Eichel. He does have to like Jack Eichel, and they have to have chemistry together to perform well. But that doesn't mean you have to like everybody on the team.
It's almost impossible. I think it's
Bob,
almost
have you ever played on a team where you liked all 22 other players?
No.
No, but I can't tell you that I have disliked or hated many players that I've played with. I played with Sean Avery. I did not dislike Sean Avery because he was fine. You got him in the room, and he didn't do his crazy stuff, and he was a fine guy in the room other than when he decided he was bored and wanted to act out.
Marty, I've played with you on a we had to kind of be careful at the beginning because we had all these young guys coming in and we have had so much success that these kids grew up watching us and like idolizing us, and they're coming in the room and they're like, you know, this, and then, you know, the first day they're out there and we're giving it to them to pick it up. Come on, you got to get going. And he goes, we almost had to stop and make friends with them first and get them on our side and then start coming down on them a little bit. He said because it was a total mess.
Because when they were successful, it was so common for them to be ragging on each other about being sharp in practice.
And he was like, they coming in googly eye looking at some of us in this room, and then all of a sudden we're jumping on them to get their butts in gear.
Yeah.
And it was like it was causing a problem. He said, so we had to take the time and become their buddy-buddy and then start lowering the boom on them.
The best team that I played on was San Jose Sharks back 2007, 8, somewhere around there. And what I loved about the hockey team is we had a lot of very strong personalities, and we all were very hard on each other. We kept each other accountable. It was okay to yell across the room to Joe Thornton and say, come on, Joe, you've got to be better for us this next period. And he would yell back some profanities, probably at me or someone else. But Joe took that and said, yeah, I'm going to, you just wait, you know, and it was like we had the Ryan Clothes and the Joe Thorntons. We had the young Pavelskis, a young kid, but had all this leadership. We had Mike Greer. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, Jeremy Roenick was on the team. We really, really drove each other and pushed each other hard. And we were one of the, I think we were second in the league that year in points. We were second behind, I think, Detroit in the entire
and
league.
You say that? I when I went to Ottawa, it was the exact opposite because they were all such buddy-buddy, and then nobody wanted to step on anybody's toes. By far the most talented group I was ever stepped on the ice with, and they were great, and they were great in the regular season. That year they won the President's Trophy, and all of a sudden it come to the playoffs when you really had to maybe start pushing guys a little bit. They all just sort of sat in the room and nobody would say anything and nobody would want to say, hey, Marian Hossa, you got to get going. Alfie, you got to get your this big game. Nobody would say it. They just sat there and that was their downfall.
That was very much like when I came here to Buffalo. We were an extremely young team when I got here. And all of you guys grew up together. So the Vanek, the Derek Roy, the Pominville, the Drew Stafford, Peters. I mean, it went on
Miller,
and on.
Gostad.
Miller, Gostad.
I remember.
Nobody wanted to, you know, hurt any feelings because they all came together at the same time. And, I mean, it was like.
We had Sue Barnes was in the building Tuesday night, right? Dallas, he's an assistant coach. And I tell the story how we were in Washington with the Sabres one night, and we lost 5-1. I played, gave up 5 goals on 25 shots. It was not a good game. You know, Razor was not playing at that time, but that's all right. So we have the 45 to an hour bus ride from Washington to the airport. And I'm on the I'm on the bus and I pull my computer because that's before cell phones and smartphones, and I pull my computer and I just start playing solitaire on my computer. It's an hour bus ride, just, and the bus is quiet and it's dark and nobody's talking. And Stu saw that there was some light coming from around my seat, like bright light, and he wanted to see what was going on. So he walked down the aisle in the bus and he looked at me, he goes, "Turn that thing off. We just lost 5-1. Quiet in the bus," and then went back to a seat in the bus. And there's Stu Barnes was the nicest guy. Not a boo rah rah kind of guy, but there was a moment after a game where you needed to be sent back in your spot, and I was a young guy, and he came and goes, "Turn that thing off," and then walked back. And I remember to this day what that feeling was, where now the whole bus is looking at me like, "Oh, what'd he do?" You know, and so you got to be able to,
you know,
to tell
amazing,
it the way it is.
You know what's amazing about that too is, you know, you talk about after a game, you know, guys were upset. When I was in San Jose, and I only bring San Jose because I was there for a very short period of time, but I played. It was one of the elite teams in the game. We never, ever, ever lost two games in a row. It was, we never got in that situation that we lost a game. Let's say it was in Colorado and lost 5-1. We didn't get on the bus in the plane, and it wasn't a morgue. It was the guys were doing the exact same thing if we were winning 5-1, because we knew, okay, we lost. Let's let our hair down,
yep,
prepare for the next game, and we will absolutely not lose two in a row. So the whole year was we never were in a situation of like having this like, you know, pressure and mm-hmm. frustration, and we've got to, you know, change our system because it's not working. It was such an enjoyable year. Even when we lost, things didn't change on the bus, on the plane rides. It was still lively, and the coaches were okay with that because they knew that we were going to rebound in a big way.
Yeah,
it was really
interesting. As a coach, you got to trust your locker room to be able to air their dirty laundry, support each other, encourage each other, set each other straight if they have to. Why did we get on this subject anyway, Petey?
We're just having a conversation. Why do we have to be so structured?
Yeah.
No, I'm just asking.
It's a great conversation. It's relevant to every team. It's relevant to success, and we're not having success here.
It's a great conversation.
So, I mean, I'm going through the roster right now, Marty, as you guys are having a phenomenal conversation, and I'm saying, who are the guys on this team that do that in practice when they're bobbling pucks? It can't always be the coach. It's not going to be Ivan Rodriguez, as Riv would call him. It's not going to be Nylander. It's not going to be Mittelstadt. Not going to be Thompson. Scott Wilson hasn't been here all year, although he would be that guy.
It wouldn't.
Won't
be
Larson. Won't be Gergensen. Should be Connor Sheary, but
won't
not
be Connor Sheary.
No. Not Sobotka.
I don't think it's
Reinhart. Pominville could, but that's just, he just goes out and works. It's not his. It's not his makeup. Skinner, kind of new, focusing on scoring. Kyle Oposo, worried about playing himself.
No, Kyle Wood.
And Jack Eichel. I mean, I remember a practice where we're skating around, and we're an unbelievable team here in Buffalo. And it's a Monday morning or a Tuesday, and we had a day off. And I'm just skating around with my helmet undone before we start getting into the drills. And Mike Greer comes up and taps me on the fanny with his stick. Says, "Hey, buckle up your helmet. It's a work day."
Yep.
And I'm just sitting there, and I'm thinking to myself, whoa,
Mike Greer
is watching me in practice? Like, he's actually paying attention to what I'm doing, and you see him, he's skating around, he's working on his hands, he's warming up, his helmet's done up, and you're just, it takes you up a notch.
Why do you think my first year in Philly, we had Darian Hatcher, Mike Knuble, Jason Smith, we had veteran leadership, right? And then the next year, those three guys were gone, and it became the young Mike Richter, Jeff Carter, who else was there at the time? It was their show, basically. John Stevens gave them the room. Completely different. The room was lost. It was lost when...
Yeah, and they were traded 2 years later.
And they had Dry Island and all the mess that Philly had. But really, Darren Hatcher wasn't the best hockey player we had. Jason Smith wasn't the best defenseman we had. They were just a veteran leader that young players came in the locker room and feared a little bit. If Jason Smith got up in the middle of the locker room to speak, everybody was at attention. Everybody listened to. I mean, Razor, you played against Hatch, right? You remember when Hatch pushed Rhett Warner in front of the net in Dallas in game 5? That's when Retro's ankle snapped.
Broke his ankle.
But, like, Darian Hatcher was a veteran and was a respected man around the National Hockey League. And
you don't have to be a star player. You just have to be respected.
Yes.
I think that's the biggest thing.
And it doesn't. You don't have to be a tough guy to be respected in the locker room. You just have to be.
No.
You have to have a voice, and that voice you got to
find. So where is our voice in the locker room?
Well, Bogo's a voice.
Bogo can't do things by himself.
No,
Jack is not the voice. Jack is trying to.
He's learning.
Right the ship. Jack has a lot of responsibilities. I mean, there has to be more in this locker room. He needs help.
Yeah, absolutely. Calipso is a voice.
Connor Sheary was brought in here because he has won a couple Stanley Cups and he was a piece to that puzzle. But is he the answer? I don't think he's the answer.
Well, sometimes guys, if they're not performing, might not feel they're allowed to speak. When sometimes, if they're not performing and they speak, it might put a little more pressure on themselves.
That's where you're wrong.
No.
Okay, or sure. I shouldn't say you're wrong. The guys.
Jeez, I was going to say. I mean, I kind of feel like I'm right.
The guys that really understand the game and that are leaders are going to speak whether they're having success or not.
Okay.
Because it's not about them. It's about the entire team. So you are going to have.
But a guy can't say, hey, you got to work harder. You got to do better. If a guy isn't performing,
no,
maybe.
But you can put it in a way, Petey, that we.
There you go.
You know, like, we are not this. We are not that. We need to do this. And that's how you get around.
Yeah, but
that.
Sometimes you have to go further than we. And you need certain guys that can take you there.
Yeah, but you don't have. That's a conversation that doesn't have to go in front of everybody. That's
a
conversation
that
you can have
leaders,
behind, you know, somewhere else, too.
Understand that the real leaders are not just speaking in these meetings that you have once a week, okay? They're not just speaking in that. They're speaking to these younger players, talking about life, talking about, hey, what's going on? How you feeling? And having dialogue with younger players and having them communicate with an older guy who's been through certain experiences and making him feel, hey, maybe you can kind of key on this. I really like your game right now, but if you can key on this and clean it up a little bit, this is going to help you a lot. And it can be one-on-one. It can be, you know, at lunch, on the road. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what this team, I think, needs more of, is they need some leadership.
Rob, I liked your comment during the broadcast the other night just about Nylander's game. We're going to see. We're going to have to get out of here. So before I let you go, you basically said he had a tough time getting into the flow of things. Like the start of the game, it wasn't necessarily easy for him to get going, you know, from the standpoint of the flow of the game. But what did we think of his first game, and what do we want to see tonight?
I'd want to see a lot more out of him tonight. I think that, that game the other night, there wasn't a lot going either way, but he's in a position where he's a little different than a lot of them. He's got to get noticed, and he's going to have to start doing things and maybe taking some chances to try to get noticed. You can't just blend into the crowd. You're not a blend into the crowd player. You know, if he was a defenseman, stay at home or something, that's fine. You know, you get through the game, you know, without mentioning his name, no big mistake or something. But I think he's a guy that needs to be, hey, look what I can do. This is
I don't look out of place.
I'm not out of place. I'm keeping it simple. I'm on the wall. I'm getting the puck out. You're not that player. You're a creative
who
player.
Got,
you
who,
need to start creating.
Is it harder to get noticed when nobody is getting noticed in the game?
That's a chance where if you're in the game, step up and try it. Even if you make the mistake. Even if you turn that puck over or something, but at least you're attempting it.
But you know what happens if Nylander goes out in his first game and starts turning puck overs all over the place.
You know what's going to hurt him even more? If he doesn't do anything.
Yes.
I'll tell you right now.
That's the two sides of it, yes.
He needs to earn something. Yes, he's going to play his position, and yes, he's going to do, but he needs to get some jam in his game. If he's just going to be a watcher and hope that someone gives him the puck, then he'll be back in Rochester.
Everything to this point he's been given, Rivs, eh?
Yes.
Now he has to start earning it.
And you know what? It wasn't given to him because he's been called up to the NHL in very short, small samples. Mm-hmm. And it's taken him right to the end of the year to get called up again in his third year in the American Hockey League. At what point does this kid start to say, I know I'm a first rounder, but now I'm not going to be given.
Yeah.
You're going to have to go out and earn everything that you can possibly get. And right now, he's in a crossroads.
Yeah, he is.
He better start to pick up his game, or he's going to be playing over in Sweden in a couple years.
Interesting.
Yep, he needs to start showing a little something.
Thank you, Mitch, for your tweet as we were talking about accountability and guys who, like, voices on this team who does step up and speak. Carter Hutton is a guy that doesn't mince words, Mitch mentioned, and we, you know, forgot about him. But
it's hard. Again, if you're not performing and you're giving up a bad goal, you can't stand up. No, but you can't stand up in the locker room after and say,
he's got enough respect, Marty.
Let's go.
But that's where you say, hey,
so you did agree with me down there on Silent One.
I did. See? I agree with you.
Ah, take that, boys. All right. Coming up next, he's got goggles on, but he's got a smile because he's going to the finals. Cody McCormick is going to join us, head coach and general manager of the Buffalo Buttes, as they get ready to head to Minnesota tomorrow and take on. We're not sure yet, but we'll find out. They're definitely going to Minnesota. WGR 550 and MSG, the Instigators. We'll be right back.
Peters and Craig Rabe.
Yes.
All right, welcome back. And we are joined now live on set at the KeyBank Center. We're down here every game day. 7 o'clock puck drop tonight, 6:30 pregame show. And we're joined with Cody McCormick here, head coach and general manager of the Buffalo Buttes, who's heading to the finals on Sunday. But you're not sure who you're playing just yet.
No, there's still the semis on Friday. We're going to go down tomorrow, watch that game, and whatever happens, we play Sunday.
I think you should prepare for the Whitecaps, right? Or what?
No. Let me ask you this, though. You've never coached against Minnesota, right?
Yeah, I have.
You have,
that was
okay.
The first two games.
Yeah, but the one game you weren't here.
No, that was Connecticut prior to that. So my first two games were back-to-back against Minnesota.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that you did, so... It's all right, Revs, I give you a present. You play with your rim roller. I'm talking to Cody here. Because Chief and I don't see each other. We run into each other one Monday in a blue moon at the Arbor Center. And
I kind of forget you were there sometimes, right?
I'm there to restock the fridge and just make sure the coaches are
just justifying his title. He still has Harbor Center or Academy of Hockey on your voicemail, don't you, Marty?
Do I?
Yeah, you do.
I probably should change
you
that.
You should probably change
but I'm
that.
I'm still a member of the Academy of Hockey. I'm still there on the ice helping out. I see Chief out there and doing his thing.
Marty, or Cody, let me ask you this, buddy. Last time we had you on was over the phone. You were getting ready to prepare for your semifinal. Did you, like, I mean, how was the game? The crowd was amazing. 4-0 win. I mean, but did you expect to win? And that's it, like that handily in a semifinal. I mean, I'm not trying to downplay what Boston did, but it sounded like the Buttes had full control of that game.
I think there was a bit of a feeling out process to start. After that, I thought when we got our first goal, we really kind of found our game after that. Going into that game, my job was to prepare them. I wanted to make sure they were totally prepared. They had no doubts going into that we weren't ready to play the Boston Pride.
What were you doing? What were you saying? We asked Shannon last week. We had Maddie on yesterday. She scored the first goal of the game and ended up being the game winner. What are you saying? What's going on in the locker room? Like, you know, what's your game plan?
Just talking about playoffs, I guess, and how things are magnified in the playoffs. It could be anything from a shot block to getting the puck in at the blue line, and that's something that pays off in the playoffs. And I just wanted to make sure they are aware of that. And in my preparation, showing Boston's tendencies and making sure that we were on top of our game as well.
I gotta ask this question. Have you absolutely snapped in the room, like kick, you know, place the garbage can in there, say, hey, go to the one of the trainers, hey, go put the garbage can right in the middle of the room, and then walk in and everything goes all over, put some bottles in there and stuff. Have you done that yet?
No, I'm not going to. I went into this with the
use
idea.
Use that one for the next game if you need be.
Not in the finals.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a good fire-up tool.
Not in the finals.
Like I said to you guys before, I try to treat them like teammates, and I think that's the best way for me to communicate with this group, and that's why I want to kind of relay my messages and how I want to teach and coach.
According to Maddie, you don't have a lot of big speeches. You come in, you say a few words, and that's it. You leave it be. Are you preparing a big speech or at least something from the heart for the game Sunday?
That's not really me. I try to get to the point and show little things right away, but I leave a lot to that dressing room and the leaders in there. that
I mean, if you could
there.
Push out a tear or something, like
can I finish my leadership talk?
No,
right now?
No, I want the emotion from you. You're a guy that played with emotion, that went out there and when I played, I tried to
just lead by example, and I talk a couple little things, but I leave that dressing room to the leadership group that's been there from day one and who's been there through everything with this group, and it's their room. So I want to definitely touch on a couple things, but for that group in there, they work well together.
How are they as a team? Because it seems to me like they are really getting along with one another. They, they put video on social media, Twitter, of them warming up with that spike ball game and, you know, doing their stretches and videos at practice. How are they as a team? And do they all like each other, or do they all, you know, pull in the same direction with one another?
Absolutely. I don't know if I've seen a tighter group. And I've said it before, how happy they are for each other on any play, whether it's a goal or a save or just somebody breaking up a two-on-one. They recognize all the little things that each other do.
What about in practice? We had a conversation in the first segment with Razor and Marty and Craig just about accountability on the ice and players that, you know, we play with that would, you know, like not just be hard on each other, push each other, if you want to call it that, you know, like trying to get the best out of one another. Someone misses a pass, you know, it's a, hey, bear down, or just little things like that. Does that go on during practice? Is there a lot of talk? I mean, you have some veteran players. You have some Olympic gold medalists and you know, some real, like, nicely, what do you want to call it, resumed players on your team. Is there a vocal group?
It is. They back each other, like I said earlier. I think in these past few practices, the execution had to be better, and we recognized that right away. We stopped it, we talked about it, and we got better just from making sure we were dialed into those practices.
Instigators, Cody McCormick joining us here. We're talking a little bit about the Buffalo, a lot about the Buffalo Buttes here right now. They head into the final, not sure against who on Sunday. It's a 2:00 game here Eastern time. It'll be 1:00 in Minnesota, puck drop. And the Buttes heading to the final. It's a one and done. I mean, nervous, anxious, just excited. I mean, like, Cody, this is huge. This is your first year coaching. And I don't know that when you took the team over, I would say that they were in disarray, but they weren't playing the way they should have been playing. They weren't performing to their max. You come in, you take them over, you right the ship, and then here you are going to the final. I mean, that's a big turnaround for this squad.
Well, just when I got here, I wanted to make sure I added some structure that I was aware of and really start with a foundation that we could work off of. Going into this playoff game, it's excitement, but at the same time, I want to make sure I'm doing my end of things to make sure these players are ready.
Has this kind of replaced your love and what you miss of playing?
Absolutely. Just coming to the rink every day with this group is very enjoyable.
Well, you had a long spurt there where you were hurt, injured. You weren't around the team. I mean, you wanted to be around the group. You were always a guy that liked to be around the team. How far do you want to take coaching now that you've started this endeavor?
Right now, I just want to take it to the Isabel Cup and win that, and whatever happens after that, we'll figure that out.
Boys, get some rings.
You're looking for one, right?
We'll
start with
order
the
rings, Rivs.
I wouldn't mind. Rivs, you know, like
Rivs
a little
got rings. He's got rings in the office back in the AdPro facility, their training facility. He's got rings made out of tape, made out of aluminum.
That was after the 10-game winning streak.
Yeah, the Sabres 10-game winning streak.
And Rivs everybody thought Rivs. That we were going to win the Stanley Cup. That,
and you started making
and
rings.
And I started making a ring like, we need to take a deep breath here.
Have you lost any weight since you started coaching?
It always comes up, right?
Well, you're the leanest.
No,
you
look
I'm
good.
Looking at you. You look
good. We cleaned this up like two shows in a row, like closer to 250 right now.
Leanest 250
so
I've ever
down.
Seen.
You're down.
You're down.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, let's go back to talking about the team. Shannon, Nicole, your two goalies have played lights out all season long. So you obviously Shannon played the last game. I would expect she'll go back in and play the finals. How difficult it is for you, who was a good guy in the locker room and a good teammate, to make that decision to say, hey, I'm going to go with Shannon, or I'm going to go with Nicole, or to have to talk to them about it, being on the other side of the conversation.
Yeah, that's definitely not the fun part of coaching. And when you talk to somebody like Nicole Hensley and you have to tell her, you don't look forward to that conversation, yeah. But her professionalism and her – and just the person she is, it was hard because of how hard she works day in and day out. But
and had a fantastic season too.
Exactly, but it's even the stuff behind the scenes that you don't see. Like I was mentioning before, she's the first one in the gym after finding out she wasn't playing, and she just wants to get better. So that was a conversation that wasn't fun to have.
You guys flying down?
Yeah.
Charter?
No.
All right. I didn't know.
I think the flight's at like 6:15 tomorrow or something.
Mall of America, Maddie said, might be in the works. Is that practice?
No practice tomorrow. We'll practice Saturday, but we might have to kill a day, a whole Friday. So I think Mall of America is on the itinerary.
What else are you going to do in Minnesota this time of year?
Well, they play Friday, so I'm going
to go. Are you going to go to the game? You're going to end up going to that game, I bet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good stuff, Cody.
So the Riveters, they finished fourth in the season, right? And then Minnesota was first?
Riveters finished fourth. Connecticut finished fifth. So they played to get in.
They played to get in.
And this is the semis that they were previously supposed to play, but now it's Friday.
You guys made a trip down to New Jersey just a couple weeks ago and played the Riveters. So you've got them fresh in your mind. A little something on both teams, maybe, just to give our listeners, like, what do you see out of the Riveters? What do you see out of the Whitecaps?
The Riveters, when they come to play the way they did against us last game, they're a top team in the league, and their effort shows, their motivation against us shows, and if it is the Riveters, we're definitely going to have to be ready for them. They beat us last game in a shootout. They played a high-end game. With Minnesota, the firepower they have in that lineup and the speed they have is something that you have to be cautious with when you're playing them.
Kendall, Coyle,
Coin,
Schofield.
Yeah,
the speedster at the All-Star game this year. She's on Minnesota, so someone that certainly has to be watched because she's pretty elite.
Yeah, definitely. You just have to be aware when she's on the ice and just making sure players are in front of you and. When she starts winding up, be aware of that and making sure you can somewhat match that speed.
Okay, because the game, obviously, like you talk about speed and you talk about the details of the game, the women's team, the women's game is different than the men's game in certain areas. I remember, Petey, who was coaching Team Canada? That was the coach
Deneen.
In Portland.
Kevin Deneen,
right? And he said his biggest difference was strength to work power plays because you couldn't just unload like a big one-timer from the blue line because the women's team was geared differently. It was more passing plays. How do you see the game different and what you're trying to teach the ladies on the Buttes?
I think it's just the support, making sure everybody's available in all three zones. And you talk about the power play and that we were able to capitalize twice against Boston, and it was plays around the net and moving into the pucks. Mm-hmm. And when somebody has it, you know that they have a couple options and that could be you, so you're moving towards that option.
We will see you Monday morning. No. What?
No.
No. Well, no. I'm telling you, we're going to see you Monday or Tuesday.
Probably
in
Tuesday
studio
yeah.
with the Isabel Cup.
That's the plan.
Good luck, buddy.
Thank you very
much.
You can
FaceTime us Monday if you want.
I'll be on a plane.
Bring us some swag, would you? It's like as the head coach and general manager, you should be showing up with hats and shirts and all this stuff and being like, "Hey, boys, like, here's some swag for you to wear."
You guys,
like, that's a nice shirt you have on. Are you the shirt off your back kind of guy? Because what size is that, as Riv would say?
Well, you guys are a little smaller than me. Now,
that's
right?
A little.
I don't know about that, Cody. I don't know.
Look at the shirt Riv is wearing right now.
What are you weighing in at right now?
That's none of your damn business. And I appreciate you staying out of my personal affairs.
Well, just to let you know, there's a Sabre store downstairs that carries the
Buttes. You got any more of that gum, Dan? Laces out. All right. Cody, good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right. Buffalo Buttes heading to Minnesota. Not sure who they'll play, but either way, Sunday, they're going to want to come out of there a Isabel Cup champion. So good luck to you, Cody, all the women on the team. And we'll be right back with Dis or Dat of the Instigators, WGR 550 and MSG.
Welcome back to the Instigators with Andrew Peters, Greg Rivet, and me. It's Marty. We had Cody McCormick. He was awesome. Rob Ray was
amazing,
below average at best. And now we have Dis or Dat coming up, and I only have a couple of them. And one of them is in regard to last night. Nick Tazzolino's team, the Buffalo Junior Sabres, the U-20 team that plays in the OJHL, won Game 7 of their first-round matchup. It's been 5 years since the Junior Sabres are here at Arbor Center, and it's their first playoff series win. And so that was pretty impressive. My question to you, and last night wasn't in overtime, but my question to you, this or that, what's the best way to close out a series? Game seven overtime win or clean four-game sweep? This or that?
From whose perspective?
From the winning's perspective, the winner's perspective.
Four straight.
But, okay, going into the next round, you get a big game seven overtime win, you're going in.
Why would you want the
pressure? Marty, you
of
were here in
06,
07, or 05, 06 when we went to game seven conference final. I wasn't even playing and I couldn't sleep.
Yes, but I'm also saying, like, I'm not saying, yeah, winning four straight is great, but I'm just saying, like, what is the best, okay, let's put it, the best experience? At the end of the game, you're, like, sitting in the locker room, and which one gets you the biggest thrill?
I'm sure game seven overtime. I'm sure the thrill would be game seven overtime, yep. But you want, like, every other pro athlete in contract talks is no different than winning. We want security, and we want the guarantee.
You want game four.
Yeah.
Boom shakalaka, get out of there.
Get some rest.
I've won a couple game sevens, and believe me, it is incredible, but it takes a lot out of you mentally.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
Okay, and even though you won, it drains and takes a lot out of you, and if you can just win a series four straight, then absolutely that's what you're
looking for. I would love to see what the record of teams who have swept a playoff series, what's the record in the next round versus teams that have won a game seven in OT, what's the record in the next round?
You know,
the difference. Going in with some momentum and some a little heart, a little more energy maybe.
What was the last Stanley Cup final sweep?
Oh, that was...
LA, right? No, LA.
No, LA, New York was five games. They beard the way it is, or do you trim the beard to give yourself a nice complete look? This or that?
Did they do the eyebrows too a little bit?
No.
They didn't do the eyebrows.
I like when they take the comb and they brush it up and they just give the eyebrows a little, yeah, little buzz.
So this
too.
Or that, do you leave the beard or do you trim the beard when you go from long hair to short hair like Rivs
well,
just
clearly
did?
If you're watching, you know Craig's answer.
Well, maybe he just didn't have time.
The idea is the beard's going to come off soon.
Yeah, you know, that's what I'm saying. Maybe you didn't have time.
I went high and tight with the hair.
I like it.
And I'm going to clean myself up and take the beard down and get all spiffed up and nice and tight.
Are you going to do it yourself, or will you go to a specialist and sit in back in the barber's chair and let him do a nice little trim on your beard? With the hot towel and all of that.
That sounds completely incredible. I just don't know where you would go.
Have you ever had a straight blade shave?
Oh, yeah.
It's awful.
No, it's great.
It's all. Sorry.
I'll tell you this. I've heard from many people the exact opposite.
It's nice when you have the towel and all that stuff, but the blade, like, unless the guy that I went to was just a butcher, but he was like, he got, like, really close to the skin. Like, after he shaved me, he went even closer.
He shaved part of your face off?
I think he did. Yeah. He's, like, right up in the lip, and he's like digging in, and he's, like, trying to get, like, the hair, like, inside the...
The ingrown one by the lip.
Like, what are you doing?
There's actually a place not far from you in Clarence Rives, I think. I went, after a playoff series, I went down on Maple Road in Amherst, an old barber shop there, and... He put me down on the chair, and he got rid of my playoff beard, and it was fantastic.
I think JJ's brother does it.
Yeah,
JJ's brother is a legendary barber.
Tweet me right now if people are listening and they have an idea.
Do you have to stay in the North Downs, or can you go down the South Downs?
No, because I work down here.
Okay,
I work
North Park.
So, I mean, if there's
you want to go to an old man.
I want to feel that when they whip up the cream and they put with the brush, and then I want to feel like I've seen it done before.
Do you want to trim or do you want it gone?
No, I want it gone.
They're gonna shave you first.
I want it super tight, okay. And then I want to feel like the scrape of my face and Okay. You know?
And it's tough under here. This was another tough part for me when he started to do the blade, like, up underneath the
neck. What they do.
He's going against the grain.
Well, first, what they do is they'll go.
I want to feel the hot towel on my face.
Yeah, well.
You know? Petey, what first they do is they go down grain, and then they re-ladder you up, and then they go against the grain for a close shave. It's fantastic.
Then they throw, like, the menthol on there, whatever it is, the eucalyptus, and it starts to burn.
Burn?
I want
to feel the burn.
Okay, well, that was our diss or dead this morning. I have to go. I have to jump on a call, and then I have to go for Phil Housley's press conference and get some sound out of the locker room.
We don't need the itinerary. We just need you to get us out of here for break.
No, then you guys are on your own. So enjoy your your rim roller, Rivs.
Yes, thank you very much. This is amazing.
Make sure you send Frank Henry a text and say thank you for my rim roller.
Frank Henry.
And you guys enjoyed the second part. And tomorrow, won't see you here, Rivs, but Petey, we're here for the corporate challenge. So we'll be playing. Are you leaving?
No.
Oh, you're here for the show?
I'm here for the show.
Okay, well, Duffer's hosting, so you'll have fun with Duffer. Like, so, okay, we're out.
I'm
the Instigator.
The corporate challenge.
WGR 550 MSG. Back with these two in a minute.
You need to start drinking water.